All right, here we are. Lawyer talk. We are off the record, but on the air.
Another Friday.
And yeah, I think the last time we did this, this was Friday. We're here with Yavich and Palmer, Steve Palmer. That is I, Jeff Lynn.
Jeff Lynn, me here once again.
And this is one of those Fridays where I think maybe both of us just had our bell rung. You know, this whole week has been.
Didn't we start this way last time?
I think we did.
I think you maybe said the same thing. Play it back.
And, you know, as we were just kicking around, what on earth do we really have to share today? And I got, you know, we do criminal defense. We do drunk driving defense. We do alcohol. I do rape defense. We do it all, right? That's what I've been doing, criminal defense forever. And I think
we do murder.
Murder. Just the most awful crime.
I always say that to my wife. My wife's like, what kind of case is this? And I'm like, it's murder.
If you don't say it that way, you're not as important.
Yeah.
You got to be important. You got to be important. But I think to do this job, you have to have some degree of empathy and sympathy for people because, you know, we're constantly absorbing people's problems. And,
yeah.
You know, I've been around enough criminal defense lawyers to know that people can get a bit callous to it. They can get a little bit, maybe apathetic's the right word. I don't know what the right word is, but they don't care, I guess, after a while on the lawyer's side. But I've never been able to actually cross that barrier where I don't give a crap about what happens to these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had meetings. I can't go into detail. We had a meeting today. And these are good people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this is an unfortunate situation for them.
I mean, and I'm not going to go into any details about the situation, but these are people who go to work every single day, raise kids every single day, with like their budget is like every week, every month.
Right.
They don't have a lot of surplus to monkey around. And we were just talking about this, and they hired us to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, what we decided to do? We're probably just going to end up doing the work they hired us to do and then not bill them.
Yeah. I think that's the way to handle this appropriately.
And it's just one of those where you just almost don't feel right. Did you feel like
it
they got screwed?
In your heart. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know how much we want to go into this, but
no, I don't think we can.
The county that was involved, the case that was involved, the prosecutor's office that was involved, just hearing what she had to sit through. I mean, it's frustrating. And that's when your heart, you know, goes out to them to say, well, they've already dumped money into hiring a lawyer before. And now they want to switch horses, so to speak. And
try to get us to fix it.
Yeah. It's like, they need to fix this problem. But it's in a lot of ways, you know, we're joining so late. How much help can we give them?
Well, and here's another interesting thing. Let's talk about appeals for a second. And just say for a minute, you end up charged with a crime. You go to trial and you get convicted. Jury says guilty. Guilty. Mm-hmm. Right. So
guilty,
it's like
murder.
The beginning of Superman. Guilty.
Yep.
Guilty. Anyway, then you're stuck with you can appeal. And I don't know if it's exactly understood what that means because
it's very misunderstood.
It is not like you get to just say, I'm going to have another trial. It's like people come in and they want to say, oh, you know what? But this wasn't fair because I really was this. I'm not guilty. This is a bunch of crap, you know, and this person's now saying outside court that it was all, they made it all up and, you know, whatever it is. And I'm not unsympathetic to any of that, but when you get to an appeal, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And that person that sits in the front of a court, you can see them on TV, the court reporters, they are writing down every word that's said in a trial.
Yep.
So as they write it down, it's always sort of fascinating me how quickly they can do it.
Yeah.
And now, have you been in a full blown trial yet, Jeff, with, what they call real time?
No, real time.
Where on your screen,
I haven't seen that yet.
It's just like there.
The judges have that. I think
judges have that in Frank County. They don't give it to us, but
yeah.
I forget where I was. I actually had that. It was a long time ago. Maybe in Delaware. I don't know.
Almost freaked me out a little bit. Like as I'm talking, I'm watching my words being typed out on a screen.
It's a little distracting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that person is taking down everything that's said. So if a witness is saying, oh yeah, that guy did it over there. That's the man. Or if they're saying, no, he didn't do it. And somebody else did, all that's getting written down. And then like in LA Law or whatever, the legal show, you hear lawyers jump up and scream objection. That's where the money is on appeal.
Right.
Right. That's the money. You don't get to go back and say, the jury just got it wrong. Now, you can sort it, but most of the time you don't get to say, they just screwed up. They should have done this instead of that.
Yeah.
We got to listen for objections and then decide. And really what those objections are, it's like throwing a flag in football, and then they have the little conference, and they say, nope, the ruling on the field stands.
Right.
And that's what the appeals are about. So it's really limited by the time somebody gets to us on what we can do.
And it's so troubling because most of the time the people that come in that want an appeal, you sit down, and the first thing they lead with is, my lawyer never asked this. My lawyer never called this person.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so they don't. They want a retrial. They want another chance, and that's not what the Court of Appeals is. You get handed a book, or you get handed some CD of a video of how this went down.
Right.
And that's it.
You get the transcript that reads like a play.
Yep.
You know, witness one, they identify him. This is Officer Dipshit or whatever. You know,
we talked about trying not to cuss as much, but we've now made it, 5 minutes into this show, and I've already cussed.
You've already broken the rule.
We're explicit for a reason, I guess.
I suppose. So you get this, you get the cop who testifies, and you get to read what he says, and you hear these objections, you do it all. Anyway, it's a long, arduous process. Arduous. And at the end of the day, we have to write this brief, which is really just our version of why it was BS what happened at trial and there was all these wrong decisions. And then you know what you win at the end? So the Court of Appeals says, yay, you win. What I get?
Congratulations. What do I get? Door number one.
You get a new trial. You get to hire another lawyer. You get to start over and you get to do it again and hopefully right this time. But – now that's the pain of the appellate process, and you just feel so ineffective. And I have always over the years I've just learned that you can't overpromise stuff. And man, how many attorneys out there? This happens to us all. It happens to me all the time. And I've just learned not to give a crap. People come in here and they say, "Well, so and so said they'd do it for less."
Oh yeah.
And they said that they could do that. They're going to get this reversed. That this is error, and they can't do this, and they can't do that. And I'm just like, you know what? I used to just say, go hire that guy.
Yeah.
Or maybe even before that, I would say, well, I can do that too. And you sort of hesitate. Oh, shit, I can't do that.
I just never could do that.
No, I can't do it either. You can't overpromise.
Yeah.
And then you get good people. And I get it. I know what they have done to earn their money. And overpromising in that scenario, when people are in need, they will sort of – they want the help. It's like you can't take advantage of that. And that's where the ethical lines maybe aren't written in the rules of what we do.
Yeah.
But man, how do you sleep at night?
I know. One thing that I learned early on, and this is true with anything in life. I mean, dealing with your relationships, dealing with your friends, doing business with your accountant, set expectations, you know, and accurately setting expectations of what is going to happen to the best of your ability is where you gain people's trust. And in the end, even if it doesn't work out, I think you have people's respect because you set the expectations properly. If you're just going to sell somebody by being a car salesman and running in there and saying it's going to be great and it's going to be ice cream and rainbows, well,
in
the end,
work.
They're going to be PO'd.
No, it just doesn't work. I mean, I wouldn't look, I used to bang nails for a living. I used to frame houses. I loved it.
You became a lawyer. Ugh.
I know. It was so much fun, too. I love carpentry. Absolutely love it. And when you frame a house, you ever been on a construction site?
You know me. I'm such a city boy. I don't know how to do anything.
My
wife knows. I put in a mailbox last weekend.
Yeah.
I actually put I did like a little post.
You sent me
digger.
A picture. I saw. You had the post hole diggers? Were you sore in places that you never...
My neighbor was nice enough to give me some sort of shovel that was sort of shaped like it was real thin.
A spade. It's called a spade,
right?
Yeah.
Seeing it shows how much I know.
Yeah.
But I put it in, and you would have thought I built a house. I was so damn proud of that.
Did you use concrete?
I did not.
You just shoved it in the dirt?
I shoved it in the dirt. I packed it in well. I mean, I think it's solid.
You had the hole dug.
For a week. I dug the hole myself.
How deep did you go?
I did whatever the box said. So it was like 36 inches or whatever. I went deep.
So you went down 36. Do you know why? You had to do that?
I mean, to keep it stable,
There's a frost barrier. I think around here it's 32 inches. There's probably construction guys listening and saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's 32 inches. You go down 32 inches, now you're below the frost barrier, and you can pour concrete and do things, and it's more stable that way. If you build a footer, your house, there you go. Yeah, that's it.
But I felt great, man. I sent you a picture. I sent Bill a picture. I kept my neighbors are laughing because all my neighbors know I can't fix anything. I can change light bulbs maybe. But every time I'm out there with them, I'm like, hey, you guys see that mailbox out there? Man, that's a sharp-looking mailbox.
Yeah, there you go. I need a new mailbox. You got to come over and do mine. I want mine in concrete, though.
All right.
So, but in construction, it's like you get to see this product happen. And you know, if I hire somebody to help me, I hired a guy last year. I had my bathroom on my second floor was falling down. And I ripped it all apart, and I was had to reframe like half my second floor, and I just didn't have the time to devote to get it all done. And this guy comes out, and I mean, he could see what needed to be done. You can put a price on what needs to be done, and you can do the work. But it's like it's a shell game in law. It's like you hire these shifty guys, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we'll do your appeal," and they don't even know what that. It's like, what does that mean? I don't even know what that means.
Yeah,
right. So, but yeah, you got to get it. You got to get on a construction site.
I know. I'd love to be that guy. I was. I had some interaction today with a person that was had some background in farming, and I just looked at this guy like. That's the kind of guy I want to be. I want to be a fixer. I want to be a guy that's dirty at the end of the day. And I just want to be strong and have strong hands. And I'm just such a – look at my hands, man. I got small hands.
Yeah, well.
I got big feet. The rest of me is okay. I swear.
I don't know what they say about small hands and big feet. I know it doesn't work. But
– Hey, man, trust me. I'll show you.
There's a reason that you crave that. I think we as humans, we crave to accomplish things. And this freaking job that we do often feels like you're accomplishing nothing. It is, and maybe that's like the lawyers are alcoholics, they're depressed, there's more suicide. It's all this because it feels like you accomplished nothing. At the end of today, what did we do? I worked my ass off all day. I can't remember one minute where I wasn't worried about something, tackling some problem, entering something, writing something, doing something, talking to somebody on the phone. I feel like I accomplished nothing.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Farming, when I was banging nails, I would start with a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And then you've got a foundation.
It's very fulfilling.
And then you got the first sill plates going on top of the foundation. And then you're going to put the floor joist down. And then you're going to put the deck down. And it's all hard work. I mean, it's good, hard quality work. And when you come home, you're tired. You've expended lots of calories because you're actually doing something.
Yeah.
And you can look at what you did.
Right.
I mean, that's why I think we crave that as humans. We're missing that.
I crave it, but I don't know how to do it. Like camping, I want to do that too. I want to be a camper. I want to be a guy that just can go out and pitch a tent and
you don't know how to
fish and hunt. And we've talked about that before. I want all those things. I even read like books on it, or I'll watch. If I'm watching Netflix, I'm watching documentaries, or I'm watching Man vs. Wild, or I'm watching these guys that are just out there. They drop them somewhere and they survive. It's like I love that stuff, but maybe I love it because. I know I couldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, you love it because you crave it. You need it. You're reading about it because you need it. You want to do it. And this is, I mean, look, I did the same thing. I could probably get most of a house done. I mean, I can't say I could do it all myself, but I could get most of it done. I know how to do the foundation. I know how to do the framing. Right. I know how to do most of the electrical work. I don't think I could get it to the pole or that kind of crap, but I could do most of it.
Yeah.
Because I just did it. I mean, I had a few years where that's what I did, and then I started to do it on my own. I mean, look, when I'm bored in my house, I gut bathrooms and just start building stuff, right? It's like it's therapeutic. But and then hunting was the same way. There was a time, what you just said so telling, because there was a time I felt empty. I felt like I don't think that it's cool that if there was some sort of world disaster – I don't think it's cool that I wouldn't survive. I don't know how to go out and kill or do anything. I can't do any of it.
Yeah. The joke in our family is Uncle Kevin. Uncle Kevin's my brother-in-law. And Kevin is Mr. Fix-It. I mean, he is on it. He can fix anything. We call him MacGyver. And it's like if the stuff hits the fan, so to speak, it's like I'm driving my butt down the porch.
You're hitching your wagon to that guy, right?
Kevin will take care of us. Yeah.
And it's funny. You've got this whole population out there. That the ivory tower folks, the lawyers and the fancy city slickers and the guys who wear ties. Shit, I mean, we're wearing ties right now, but it's like, well, you are anyway. It's not only that I feel like a lot of times people look down on it. But I think I think they probably do, but they're missing the joke. It's like the joke's on them. The joke's on the city slicker who's stressed out all day staring at a freaking computer screen.
Yeah, you're right.
So how do we gauge the happiness in the world? I mean, are you happy staring at a computer screen and doing this kind of crap all day long? Or how good do you feel after – I mean, even those guys might come home on a weekend, I don't even know anymore. But you know, you see the guy in the office come home on a weekend and at least mulch his own beds. It's like when you get done with that, That's far more satisfying.
I mean, and we have those satisfying feelings here sometimes. I mean, we've had those moments where we've had trial victories or we've just got a great resolution on the case and we look at each other and smile and, you know, you have that like, wow, I really feel like I accomplished something today. But those are so few and far between.
It's few and far between, and it's not – we don't have the control to repeat it. It's not repeatable.
Right.
And this is like old, maybe Stoic philosophers, right?
And it's almost like – I'm trying to compare it to your construction analogy you just had. It's like it's almost like, you know what, you got that project done in your house, and literally when you bang the last nail in – a wall fell down on the other side of the house. It's like, right. That's what our job is a lot of times, because we have that accomplishment, but then you come back to your desk and you go, oh crap, I got 15 emails to respond to, 15 calls, and client so-and-so has got this massive problem right. That needs help right now.
And there's no appreciation for any of it. It's nope. Endless. And it is that the happiness you got from that victory is fleeting.
Yeah.
It's not repeatable.
Yeah.
But if you're out building something, it's repeatable.
Yep.
And you might come home. I'm not saying all those guys are happy. I mean, there's people who are unhappy all over. But it's funny that we have tied happiness to financial success in a lot of ways. Like, oh, that guy's got it all. He's got his Mercedes. He's got his pool in the backyard. And he's got all this stuff. He's freaking miserable.
Yeah.
Come home right. Every night and pops depression meds.
Yep.
And goes to sleep after 5 drinks and wakes up with a headache and does it again.
Yeah.
But he can pay for that car.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about here, but it's. I think we're onto something.
We're definitely onto something. It's just, I think we have to talk about it, because this is, you know, what they're getting an insight into is a lot of stuff that we just sit and kick around at this hour of the day at 4 o'clock on a Friday. It's just, and that's why I think we, you know, created this organically. So we got to start talking about this stuff, because I think it helps us, for one thing, because this does, I see this as very therapeutic. I think we both started looking forward to talking to the mic. I don't know if anyone's listened. We always say that, but it's like getting these things off your chest is very therapeutic to me.
Well, it is therapeutic. And I think there's some insight that we do gain here. And I don't mean to flush everything we do down the toilet either, right? Because when you get to, I guess if we would measure our job by helping others with problems, that's, you've heard me say it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
We don't take on cases. We take on problems. We're problem solving attorneys. We get results for people. That's what we strive to do. And then you sort of shifted your definition of success, because look, it's like construction. If you say, hey, look, I'm going to go build a basement in that bedrock over there, like, you can't do it. Right? Ain't going to happen.
Well, we have clients like that,
right,
too.
They come in and say, look, yeah, I got caught with puke, crap, and piss all over me. I was behind the wheel. There were 8 empties in the back seat.
Yeah.
And I was freaking wasted, man. Yeah. You know, it's like, all right, now what do you want us to do for you? Well, I can't get convicted of drunk driving.
Yeah, I can't possibly be. I can't lose my license either. So if you can.
So I can't get convicted of drunk driving. I can't lose my driver's license. If I do, if any of those horrible things happen to me, I'm going to lose my job. And then my wife's going to leave me and I'm going to be destitute because I just bought this new house that I can barely afford anyway. And I'll be on the street and I'll miserable. I'll probably just kill myself.
Yeah. How much do you want for legal fees? Will you take payments for that? And I could probably get you $250 to start.
I can pay you $50 a month, right? It's like that's the crap that we hear. This is the Star Trek no-win scenario. But it's like that's sort of like the depressing side of it. But then you get to help them, mm-hmm. right? So we become sort of pseudo-therapists. We become pseudo-lawyers. We become their confidants, or we become their cheerleaders, whatever it is, and we sort of shift it around.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, all right, well, maybe you can do this, or what do you do for a living? Let's talk about that. Because I had somebody else who was a whatever you do, and that person didn't lose their job. And, you know, maybe – because I think people have these problems. It feels like the world is raining crap on their heads, right? It's like, this sucks. I can't survive.
Well, you can see why we get to the position we get in, because in a lot of ways – and then maybe it's like a doctor. I'm sure there's other professions that experience this, but – the people that come through our doors that we get to sit down with a lot of times have what they see as maybe one of the biggest problems they've ever had in their life, you know, and they need to fix this problem and how it's going to impact their jobs, how it's going to impact their family, how it's going to impact, you know, whatever it is. It's like a lot of times when they're sitting here, they never thought they would sit in a lawyer's office and need to pay for advice. Right. And not only that, the outcome, depending on what that lawyer does, is not, oh, I'm going to lose money in the divorce. Oh, my bankruptcy isn't going to go correctly. It's, I could go to jail.
I could go to jail. And look, I don't mean to downplay jail at all, but the more realistic scenario for most people is, I'm going to go broke. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my wife. I'm going to lose my life. It's like life as you know is going to change. You're getting people's heads around that, yeah, it might. Because look, I mean, I don't candy coat anything, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is this. It's like if you're coming here to feel warm and fuzzy about an unsolvable problem, well, that's not – maybe you'll feel better about it when you leave here because we're going to at least be honest about what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Because, look, it's bedrock. It's basement and bedrock. You know, sometimes that's what it is. So what do? Well, maybe you can't build your basement here.
Yeah.
But we can go over here and build it. And maybe why don't we try a different approach here and build a deck on top of that instead of the basement. Yeah. Anyway, that's the thing. But I want to get back to hunting. Because we got spring gobbler, spring turkey hunting's coming right up. But
I really need some back straps this year from some turkeys. We got a long
some
time.
Back straps from turkey. Oh, yeah, you get your gosh. Yeah. You can eat a turkey back strap all you want, but you're going to starve.
that was a Friday comment right. When your brain is
gobble,
shutting
down. Gobble.
All right, so when's deer season for starters? I missed it, but when is next deer season?
It'd be October-ish.
October. Comes in, so when's turkey season?
Turkeys.
I told you I'm not a hunter and I'm not a construction.
It usually comes in around. I don't know the exact date. It'll be coming in April.
All right. Now, what you've eaten wild turkeys?
Yeah, it's not the most.
It's not good.
Tasty.
It's not what you get on Thanksgiving Day.
It does not taste like your Thanksgiving bird. No.
Okay. Why is that?
Because they eat worms and dirt and bugs, I guess.
So the turkeys we get, are they just sitting in a farm?
Well, this is like your buddy, your farmer buddy, told you about the GMOs. They inject it full of stuff. They make it nice and fluffy, and they give it great food, so it gets fat.
Okay.
But this notion of going – this is where I was a few years ago. This notion that if we had the zombie apocalypse, I would starve.
Yeah.
Because I can't go out and kill something and eat it. I could fish, I guess. I've always fished my whole life. But to be able to go out into the woods alone, completely alone, stalk your prey, kill it with some tool that you have created or purchased or whatever it is, and then deal with it. Process it.
Yeah.
Make it so you can put it in your mouth and survive. So you can eat it and survive. That's a very therapeutic thing. It's sort of like building your own house. I mean, you get done with that and you're like, damn, that feels good.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. It's like, I can do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've got to get back to that stuff where people are quit worrying about their freaking cars or their, what they have here or what whose house is bigger. I mean, it's like, we all do it, but man, after a while, the happiest I've been is not when I have all that stuff. It's when I'm sitting out in the woods with just like one thing, like maybe a gun and freezing my ass off.
Yeah. It's a thing I've done. I grew up, my dad was a big hunter. We had guns in our household. You know what I mean? I remember fish fries. I remember dad bringing home rabbit and doing rabbit noodles. And it was just, oh my gosh, it was so good. But, I haven't done it recently. But there's something to be said for somebody experiencing that, killing an animal. What I think is lost big time in our society, and I've talked to my kids about this, and people have different opinions about whether or not you should kill animals. But it's like that same person will, you know, go to the supermarket and grab meat off the shelf. You know what I mean? It's
I mean,
there is that connection to nature, to the environment, to the way it used to be, that if you're going to have this meal and feed your family, get that protein, you're doing it from start to finish.
Yeah, it's an accomplishment that you can't – it's an accomplishment that pays you back in more ways than just having food. It pays you back in more ways than just having food. And then you get this whole faction of our world, our society now, that just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Or even understand it or even appreciate it or say that, well, that guy's just a hick or he's just that or I don't have to kill my food. I can buy it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what they're – I guess to each his own or to each her own. I'm not – look, if you're a vegetarian or even if you eat meat and you're against the way we do this, so be it. But all I can say is what I like to do. And there is nothing better than going through that process on your own and getting to your freezer and knowing, damn, I did all that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eat it this winter, right? I mean, that's a great
feeling.
I've got
two people I know that are vegan now because of that Netflix show. I don't even know what it's called. It's not Forks Over Knives or whatever it is. That basically says we shouldn't be eating meat and we're...
I saw some of that crap, but...
I haven't watched it yet.
I'm going to keep eating meat.
I can't imagine passing up meat. It's a big part of my world.
You know, my buddy Jay always points. He's like, see, we got these things right here. And he's always holding his finger in his mouth. Yeah. He's like, we got these. They're fangs. And that's the incisors. Right. That's why we have those things. Yeah. And then there's probably other people that say, no, we're meant to be vegetarian.
Well, that's what that Netflix special is. I haven't watched the whole thing, but I think that's what it gets at. It gets at that we weren't designed to eat meat. But
well, I've never been sick from eating just meat that
well,
I know
I think,
of.
Oh, we got to research this before we start talking about it. But
what do we know?
I think
we got the internet.
I think it's the long term stuff. I think that they're linking cancers and different diseases and illnesses.
I mean, listen. I get it. Maybe you'll get cancer because we're eating cows. All right. Yeah. The people that are telling me this crap are drinking out of their plastic water bottles while they're telling it to me.
Right.
And ignoring completely that is a huge carcinogen, or at least if you buy one, you got to at least buy the other.
Well, they have special, like, what is it, BPA? They have non-BPA bottles or whatever now that don't.
I'm sure the Walmart ones are non-BPA, the 79 cents for two dozen.
Oh, the Souls or whatever.
I don't know what the hell they are. But so those people are drinking that, or they're sipping their $20 glass of wine at the same time they're telling me my hunting practices are going to give me cancer. And ignoring completely that alcohol is a carcinogen.
Yeah. I could walk out of here and get hit by a bus. It's just that there's things that you cannot avoid in our society, and it is what it is.
Well,
and I guess it goes back to what that conversation we had today about being happy and just trying to, I don't even remember how you put it, but it was eloquent. I liked it about, I can see them coming from a mile away. Those people that are just unhappy, depressed. I was in a court today that I felt that way. I just felt the darkness in the room. And it's just like, you know, maybe you just got to make the decision. Whatever my day comes, I'm going to enjoy my day. I'm going to be happy because it's another day on earth.
I'm going to have fun today. It's like, screw it.
Yeah.
You can see, you're right. You can see them coming up. If you go to work, if you get up in a day and say, I'm going to be happy, even if your spouse, your kids, or whoever else is being a miserable, rotten, awful, just miserable.
Well, that would never happen with our spouses.
Right? Yeah, never, never, never.
Yeah.
But if you just, you can see that and just say, I ain't going to be part of that.
Right.
That ain't on my plate today.
It's like easier said than done. You know what I mean?
It is and it isn't. It's easy to get sucked into it. But once you start recognizing that pattern, I mean, really, it's like, it's simple, right? If that person's miserable, if they get up and kick you in the nuts and punch you in the nose, you're going to be freaking miserable, right? But
there's a commercial about that, right? About being happy no matter what. I think there's some commercial where somebody's like, they're at their office and they spill, juice all down the front of themselves, and they're just like,
that there is, right? Yeah, spill the juice. Well, I mean, it's like you can see that though. If I come in here and I look around, I can sense the mood. And you know what else is true? I know that when I'm being an asshole around here and I'm miserable and I'm having a bad day, it's endemic, man. The whole place sucks.
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm not doing it anymore. I'm coming in, I'm like, screw it. I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
You guys aren't happy? Well, you can go off on your own boat. I'm staying right here.
Yeah.
And you can, when people come into that little mix of yours, not only can I see it coming a mile away, I don't want to say I have the power. But if we are happy, if I'm happy, I can often influence somebody else.
Well, my wife and I have this conversation all the time. She can usually tell. I mean, without me saying a word, the moment I come through the door, she's been at times. She's told me, she's like, I had a pretty good day. I was happy with the kids. It's Friday. We're gonna maybe watch a little movie here with the kids, and I can just tell the moment you came through the door, it took the wind out of my sails. You know what I mean? It's like.
Well,
it happens.
That's partly her fault.
And vice versa.
And partly your fault.
I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you guys are both responsible for that.
I like that we're recognizing it.
We have to, right?
And say, hey, I'm going to compartmentalize. You're right. I'm going to compartmentalize. I'm going to close that door of my life, and I'm going to enjoy my family now. You know what I mean?
Well, we all have some escape, right?
I don't know if I can just be happy all the time. I can try to think it, but.
There's always a path. Yeah. There's always a path to – you have to start thinking about, all right, how bad really was it today? Or what really is going on? It's not like
– oh, well, that's right.
I'm still sucking air. I'm still driving here. I'm doing this.
Right.
I can still hunt this fall. And even if I couldn't, I still have those other experiences. I mean, there's
– yep. I got a close friend that fell ill this week. And those are the times you think about it too.
You start thinking what's important.
Yep.
Is this fancy car or what's it all about? And then once I started on this path – it's like I look around and the world's better. It's like everybody's a little bit happier around me too. And I think that's because I'm recognizing it and I'm talking about my kids, mainly my kids, right? So if I'm a grumpy asshole when I come home, it's like, all right, game on. We're going to be miserable.
Yep.
You know, we're fighting about you didn't clean your room. We're fighting about you didn't do this. There. Who's making the dinner? Who's doing the dishes? I mean, then it's miserable.
Yeah.
But if you just, if you get that sort of, if you get that, that response back from the people around you, and you can tell what it is, it's that specter of shit coming at you,
mm-hmm.
then you have a choice on how you're going to deal with it.
Yep.
You have a choice. And often my response to that can change what they're doing.
Yep.
And that's what we all have to understand. Now, when my kids are old enough to understand that on their own, maybe they'll do the same thing. But anyway, it's
– is that back to that projecting concept?
Projecting, right. We're projecting happiness.
Yeah.
And we're criminal defense lawyers. Who the hell can say that?
None.
Like, who is really saying that?
No one.
And it's really just about being honest, like the clients we were just talking about. Circle it right back. It's like the clients we were just talking about. We were honest with them about what their expectations should be, what they shouldn't be. And I didn't say, look, you're awful people for even being in charge of crimes in the first place, or you're, you know, what are you thinking doing this, or beating them up and then trying to scare them into saying, if you don't hire us, you're going to have to, you're going to go to prison for sure, or whatever the hell the situation is. But it's like, we were honest with them. I have no anxiety right now about it.
Yeah.
Right? We were just honest. Like, look, here's how I see your problem. I don't know if I can help you or not, but we'll try. And it's the process that you're hiring us for. And then all I think as criminal defense lawyers, it's the overpromising that causes people the most stress. Because as soon as you overpromise,
it's a problem for everyone.
Then you're creating for yourself in somebody else an expectation that you know you can't meet. And if you live with that every single day, that you're interacting with that individual, you're just in for a world of crap,
right?
It'll eat you alive.
Yeah.
So, what can anybody take away from this? I have no idea.
I have no idea, but it's fun. We just keep cranking them out. What are you doing this weekend?
You know, I got some buddies coming over. We're going to play some cards. We're going to hang out. I don't do much. I like being home on the weekends anymore. I don't do a whole lot. What about you? What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm definitely going to – I got a buddy in the hospital that we're hoping get pulls through, and we're going to go see him, visit him, play with the kids a little bit. I've got – this goes back to our construction. I've got some boxes that I'm going to set up for – I'm going to start doing my garden again. So I got these four sort of 5x5 above raised bed things that I'm putting together. I'm just finding space in the backyard for it, but I love gardening, man.
What are they made up of? Wood?
Plastic. So I got these from Costco.
You're gonna get cancer. You can't use plastic boxes to grow your food. You might as well just put.
I was happy because I was like, oh, the last time I built, you know, wood squares, you just rot. I mean, you're not supposed to get the tempered wood because
the treated, the womanized wood, that you get, that's arsenic or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, you're screwed.
Yeah, so I
you can't grow food in plastic. You can't grow food in wood if you just put in the dirt. I mean, who knows what's left over from the construction debris?
Yeah, it's true.
You might as well just go to Kroger.
Yeah.
Just go to
Walmart. I like the thought of my kids seeing sort of, you know, this seed to grow.
Oh, dude, I'm just joking.
It's awesome.
Man. I mean, I think growing your own food.
But I am probably putting cancer into my household. I don't know. But I think the suit I'm wearing is probably doing something to my skin. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's all coming out sooner or later. But no, that's a great weekend activity. You're not going to have the weather for it. But
I'm not. But I'm going to start getting them set up. I'm excited for it. I loved tomatoes and hot peppers and all that stuff.
You know, it's funny. But all the stuff. You asked me what I'm doing this weekend. The one thing I didn't mention was work. But I'm going to be here tomorrow morning at like 7 in the morning working.
We got a trial coming up.
We got a trial. I forgot all about that. See, I'm happy.
But you still got to do that.
I still got to do that. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got something.
But I guess approach that from a fun perspective because that's a trial that we believe will end up a success for our client.
Yeah,
that's one of those trials that you feel good about being a lawyer because we're not going to talk about the case, but you're right on this one.
I feel like we're right on this one, and I feel like we have an angle that most people wouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have seen this. And when we boil it down to brass tacks, it's a bunch of BS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the argument. To the fact finder, whether it's a judge, jury, it's Joe Pesci, right? My cousin
Vinny. That's where I was going.
Bullshit.
Everything that guy just said, objection. His right. entire opening statement is argument.
That's stricken from the record. Yeah. All right. Well.
Okay.
But if you boil this thing down to brass tacks, it's a bunch of BS, right? That's the argument. And I think it works in this case. So I will be working. I'll be working in the morning. I'm going to get my dog out, and he's going to go romping with me for a little bit in the afternoon. I'm going to make some white chili, white chicken chili.
Man, I love that.
So I'm going to do that, and then that's about
all. Our boy Jared made a white chili one time that blew my socks off.
We're going to have it, Jared.
Is Jared doing it?
He's going to come in. Yeah, he's going to come in here one of these days. No, he's not.
Well, Jared's going to come on here, but man, he's got to make some more of that. I don't know how but see, his white chili that day, I suspect it's going to be one of those responses like, well, I don't know how I did it. You know what I mean? I just make it. I just do it.
He just
you
makes
know what
it.
I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's art in a lot of ways.
It is.
Anyway, that's the weekend, or that's the week wrap-up.
Yep.
We should say this. Soon, there's a portal. If not now, there's a portal on the webpage that people will email questions can be answered. We do the free legal advice, as you know.
Yeah.
But on maybe not everybody knows that. So.
997 Wednesdays.
997 Wednesdays.
That's in Columbus. I think you can get online, too.
You can listen online.
Anybody that's
interested. So if you're in California on Wednesdays, you have to do – I don't have my time zone map with me here. But if you do the calculating, you can just log on and listen to us online on Wednesdays on 997 The Blitz doing phone-in legal advice. But we're going to carry that over. We're going to start talking about it here, too, and through texting, through emails, through some interaction and technology that I don't even know about yet. So it's all going to happen. And I think what we'll do every week, there will be some question and answer. We're going to force people to listen to what we have to say for a while before they get their question read. But we'll get to it. So until then, though, this is Lawyer Talk off the record, but on the air until now.